Hey everybody, Jeremy Torsk here with the Slight Edge Advantage. Tell me, what do you do to get to that next level? Who are you chasing? What mentors are you watching? What levels do you want to be at? I can guarantee you the only way to get there and to stay there is by having that slight edge advantage, by reading just a little bit more on what you're trying to accomplish, by asking the right people what they did to get there, to try to circumvent the mistakes that they've made, getting up a little earlier, taking a little bit better care of yourself. All these little things add up to your slight edge advantage. One thing I have for sure that's been responsible for getting me as far as I have in life is building relationships. It's been one of my biggest slight edge advantages. And today, we've got a guest on this podcast that was recommended to me by a mutual friend. Very highly recommended. I'm looking forward to today's show. We haven't really met in person yet. So we're going to learn a lot about each other live here right on this podcast. Today's guest is Dennis Volpe. Dennis is a principal leadership development consultant and executive coach with Leadership Research Institute. He specializes in leadership and organizational development, career and transitional coaching, emotional intelligence and resilienceness, and personal leadership for emerging leaders and mid-level to upper-level executives. As a retired military officer, Dennis knows what it's like to succeed. As a formal naval commanding officer, he knows what high performance and team effectiveness is all about. Today, he empowers others to think differently, behave differently, and do life differently in order to move from their current reality to the desired reality by focusing their energy on what really matters most and what they can control. Please welcome to the show, Dennis Volpe. All right, crowd goes crazy. Welcome.
Jeremy, thanks for having me. It was great that Dallas connected us and we were able to get connected today.
Yeah, so fast. You know, with the age of the internet is something else. So two people in different parts of the world can say, you know, this is somebody you ought to know, and then couple of texts, couple of messages later, we're here filming a podcast to really benefit, you know, thousands of people out there. And the best thing is, you never know who that one person is going to be that watches this show that you might be able to change their lives.
100%. Absolutely. Yes.
So I don't want to go all the way back to the kindergarten, but since I don't really know your history more than what I've done a little bit of research on you, start with the history you have with serving this country. And the dedication that you've given, where did that come from? What was that? Did you have parents?
Absolutely, yeah. The military and service to the country and service to the communities definitely has been a family business. My father was a combat Marine in Vietnam. I had an uncle who was a combat Marine in Vietnam. I have an uncle who is an FD, you know, a firefighter in New York. I've got an uncle who's a paramedic in down sort of by you down in Orlando. Both my grandfathers were in World War II. So it's never definitely made it. Family business.
Paul led up the sky fire for that long. That's a long list of heroes, my friend.
Yeah, 100%.
And so it was kind of like the family business, just that the cape just handed down from generation to generation.
Yeah, it just made sense. And you know, when you start thinking about what does service look like, what does service feel like, it's, you know, doing something or being involved in something that's bigger than yourself.
Yes.
And when you think about the military, you know, you're literally, you know, signing a blank check to yes. Understand to say, hey, you got it.
Mold it.
Take what you want.
Yeah, mold it. Ship me anywhere, and tell me what to do, and I'll say how high.
Yeah.
And so through that process, from what you saw as an outsider looking in and being part of the whole family, right, you know, their attitudes at home are always different from work. What was the biggest shock for you when you went in?
Well, I went, I was the first officer in my family.
So hold on. That's going to get a bigger than that. Cause that's huge. Just like the first one going to college. Right. So that's a big one.
So I was lucky enough to, get accepted to the United States Naval Academy.
Wow.
So spent 4 years at Annapolis. You know, one of the big things when you start thinking about, you know, the slight edge advantage, you know, almost everybody, if not everybody, that goes to the Naval Academy was kind of a big deal from wherever they came from.
Yeah.
Right? They were the big fish in the small pond, and
they were
a place like Annapolis.
Yeah,
and you're just a fish, you know, and you're like, ooh, okay, you know, you talk about mindset shifts. And, you know, how do I be the best version of myself?
Yes.
In an environment like that? And I can tell you, Jeremy, it was tough for me initially, mainly because I struggled academically. And I thought, you know, I was going in there. And I'm like, yeah, I got this.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, no, I definitely did not. So
what was it that got you over that hump?
Rugby.
Interesting. So was it a matter of being motivated to stay on the team?
So I was a recruited lacrosse player, right? I was a simple kid from Long Island that was halfway decent at lacrosse, got good grades, and did a lot of community service. I was a volunteer firefighter, all that stuff.
Yeah.
My first two semesters was kind of rough. I had to go talk to some people, and they asked you the question, are you here to be a midshipman? Are you here to be a lacrosse player?
Right.
I'm like, I know the answer to that question, or at least I know your answer to that question.
Another one you want to hear.
That's right. And so after my freshman year, I started playing rugby.
Yeah.
And it was the desire to be part of that team. It was the camaraderie. It was everything about the whole rugby culture.
Yeah.
And again, being part of something, you know, bigger than yourself. And there's two words that rugby players use. And during a match, during practice or whatever, when you're going to go into contact with another human.
Yeah.
And it's
sans pads.
That's right. Sans pads. And it's with you. You know, and when you're taking the ball into contact and you hear those words either here or here, you know,
yeah,
that you have the ability to really do anything because you've got the support of the people that care about you and want to support you.
Oh, that's a trade secret what those words are?
It's knowing with you. Those are the two words.
Ah, with you.
Yeah.
So then in your career now, tell me about what you do now, who you help, how you help them, why you help them, and then we'll kind of try to see if we can't tie the two together.
Sure.
And how the one benefited what you're currently doing.
Yeah, 100%. So what do I do? I support leaders and teams. And ideally, I support mission-driven leaders and teams. And I get them refocused.
Okay.
And refocus so that way they can direct their energy towards not only their energy, but their attention towards what really matters. And when they do that, they can succeed faster, both at work and in life.
Now, what happens if they have a problem articulating what really matters? You have ways to get that out of them?
Yeah. I have a really good friend, Wes Woodhouse, who is an active duty, you know, F-15 pilot. And we talk a lot because we were in a mastermind group together. And you talk about, you know, what are some of the, you know, slight edge advantages? If you're not in a mastermind group of some sort or another, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So that's one. But we talk about, you know, what's really needed for people to move forward faster. And, you know, I'm talking to a guy that, you know, drives around, you know.
At Mach 4.
That's right. I think Mach 2, but, it's clarity.
Yeah, clarity. Yeah.
Alignment and structure. And you kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. But clarity about what matters. And that's where we dive into, whether it's one-on-one personal leadership stuff or whether it's a small business, right? So, you know, how have you defined success?
So where's your joy, like in your passion? Which kind of industry, what kind of people? Is it teams? Is it one-to-one? Is it small companies? Who is it that if I heard somebody saying something, I would say, you got to talk to Dennis. Like what are those words?
So when I first started in this arena, I did a lot of corporate work. And that kind of opened my eyes to, you know, certain things. But where is my joy? Where is my energy? Where is my purpose? Is in that small business arena. And people ask, why small businesses? Well, when you start thinking about what's one of the big differences between corporate America and small business? Well, small business owners did what, right? They looked, they saw all the chips and said, what am I going to do with these?
Yeah.
And they pushed them at the center of the table and said, I'm going to bet on somebody. And that somebody is me.
Me. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I like working for small businesses, right? Because they've bet on themselves. And those are the type of people you want to be around.
It is. Yeah, exactly. And but those are the hardest people that to get them. I find those are some of the hardest people to get them out of the do and get them into the vision. You know, the from the implementing mindset to the visionary mindset, because they saw a problem that they clearly saw that there's a need to fix it. And they had that vision, but then they get in the implementation mode, and man, it's hard to wedge somebody out of there after a while, because then they have to do what? They have to trust other people to do what they do best. But they had the vision. So unless, I guess you'd say, well, let's find you a really good visionary to team you up with, right?
Well, as part of it, defining success is number one, knowing what the values of your organization, your team are. And then I'm a certified Gallup strengths coach. So knowing your strengths, but also the strengths of your team.
Yes.
You know, is it in execution? Is it in relationship building? Is it in influencing? Is it in strategic thinking? And I had the opportunity to work with somebody who was in a family-owned business that was in like a fundraising round, right, to expand their business. And he reached out to me and said, Dennis, I'm tired. I feel like I'm the only one that's like influencing anyone to bring in money, to support this expansion and everything else. They said, hey, you know what? Let's take a look at you and your team.
Yes.
From a strengths perspective. And guess what we found?
He was probably doing all the work and not even delegating.
Well, what we found was when we looked at it from a strengths perspective, he was the only one that had more than two or three of their top 10 strengths in that influencing domain.
Okay.
So as a result, he was doing the work that he liked.
He couldn't delegate it. Yeah.
And nobody else did it because they weren't good at it.
Right. So
part of the discussion was, who do we need to get you partnered with?
Right.
In order to move things in the right direction faster.
Yeah. Or maybe who's on your team willing to make some mistakes that you're willing to let make some mistakes in their own realm to get good at it?
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's only a couple of options there. Hire out or train.
Yeah. And, you know, somebody asked me recently, what's one of the biggest differences that you've seen from your military experience and now your experience as a small business owner and then a coach and all this other stuff? And I said, well, in the military, you have to figure things out with the team you've got, period, full stop.
Right.
Whereas whether it's in the corporate space, small business space or whatever, you have the ability to hire what you need.
Right. You've got choices.
You contract it out.
Yeah.
So
I want to unpack that. I want to unpack that one there. But let me take a half a second here to talk about today's sponsor, which is called Plenty of Coaches. And it's a new platform just created. It's the Angie's List for coaching. You need a plumber. You need a painter. You need a guy to lay some tile. You call Angie. You need a coach of any kind. You call plentyofcoaches.com. And this is a little teeny 1 minute commercial here we're going to run. And I'll tell you, I know all about it because I'm the one who created the
company. Hey, coaches, are you tired of waiting around to find the perfect client? Are you tired of wasting tons of cash on bad leads and changing algorithms of social media platforms and Google ads? Well, then it's past time to get in front of your client in a unique way. At Plenty of Coaches, your ideal client is out there right now searching for you using your location or expertise in a way that's never been done before. They'll discover your bio, your content, your social links, and your videos. And you can post that content for free or for sale. If they like what they see, they'll schedule themselves on your calendar. Sign up today at plentyofcoaches.com, the perfect place for your perfect client to find you.
All right. right. Thank you for sticking around for that. Because now we're on to something really interesting to me. And that is because the military has rigid procedures. And you will follow them and you will say, you know, jump and how high. And they're there for a reason, because it saves lives. However, in the entrepreneurial world, in the private sector, boy, is there a bunch of latitude. And that means a lot of mistakes can be made. So when is it, what are the signs to zig instead of zagging, or start zagging instead of zigging? Because when you have all those choices, it's hard to know when to make these right calls.
So one, I agree that the military definitely has a structure, definitely has a process. But there's also an opportunity to, because we have a planning process for everything that we do, there's a time and a place to say, hey, you know what? We could probably do this better. And we also have an AAR process, or an after action report process that looks at what we've done.
Postmortem.
Yeah. What have we done? What, you know, and it always looks at the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Hey, what did we do well? How did we do it? And why do we want to keep doing it that way? What didn't go as well as it could? And how can we improve? And, you know, the ugly, what shall we never do again?
Well, I guess the biggest difference is that in the military you have that, but to get the new implemented probably takes tons of resources and time. Where in the private sector, bam, let's try it this way next time. See if it works.
Yes. And I would also argue that how do you get even small teams to do things differently the next time is actually having a process.
Yeah, right. So having some rigidity lends itself well to improvements and changes. And
when I work with leaders and teams, I don't know who came up with it. I know I didn't, but on a quarterly basis, and even, you know, more often if need be, we do the whole start, stop, continue, and score.
Yes.
Exercise. And it's pretty amazing what happens and what comes out of that.
Yeah.
If a big if, Jeremy, you have set the conditions where people could be open, honest, and candid about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm running out of some fuel here, because I've never had fire rain down so many things, so many nuggets that people can see. I tell people just to watch my podcast, just watch for that fire and then stop, rewind, and watch that part. They're going to have to watch this whole thing. Because really, there's so many good things coming out of this for any size person, an entrepreneur, somebody working in a company in a mid-level, mid-management position, or wanting to become a supervisor. Review your own actions every day. Go home, write down what you do, what worked, what didn't work, what could you do better, what, you know, and then take imagine you took a notebook into your boss, and you said, "Here's my growth for the last 6 weeks. Here's the things I did right. Here's the things I did wrong. Here's how I fixed what I did wrong. And I'd like you to review this with me and tell me how I can go from here." Imagine how many shortlists you'd be on for promotion.
Yeah.
And just to yourself and getting into those habits. So,
and I'm a huge advocate of the four disciplines of execution that looks at, you know, focus on the wildly important, which is, hey, how have I defined success? Focus on lead measures, right? You know, I want to get stronger. All right. So you need to do push-ups.
Yeah.
How many push-ups are you doing? You know, I want to be a better runner. All right. How many miles are you putting in? It's not the outcome. It's actually the input.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's the scoreboard?
Yeah.
What are we going to keep score of? So that way, you know, Dennis and Jeremy know in an instant if we're winning or losing.
Yeah.
And then how often do we need to look at that scoreboard? And when I get to work with, you know, emerging leaders or even entrepreneurs, you know, particularly founders and CEOs or GMs, you know, general managers in the manufacturing space, I talk about the four A's all the time, right? Do the people on your team have access to you? Do they have access to your ideas? Do they have access to understanding your perspective and getting that, I call it the, you know, experiential credibility that you have, you know, the things that you've seen, the things that you've done, do they have access to that? So that way they know what you value. They know what you expect and they know what your priorities are. And then is there alignment between what you say and what you do and what your teams do?
Okay. The example. Leading by example.
Yes, exactly. And then acknowledgement and accountability, right? Are you acknowledging the stuff that's in alignment with what you want, your values, your expectations, your priorities? And then are you holding people accountable if they're not meeting those expectations, values, and priorities?
Right. So how, I mean, the first part of it sounded like Keith Cunningham on steroids, you know. He talks about that, man, there's so much great stuff. Numbers are the language of business, which is, I think, a Warren Buffett saying. But he really does that scoreboard stuff and the airline pilot dashboard.
Yep.
But I like the four A's. I like it. You know, an actionable, you know, the behaviors all starts with the thoughts. And the thoughts generate a feeling that then creates action that creates steadlong behavior. And those are what you're doing. You're going through those four A's to build the thoughts and the action. And then that's going to promote trust because you keep repeating the cycle and leading from the front.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. We're going to put some highlights on that. That's all going to be in the description here below. So hit show more, scroll down. I want you to put in a comment your four A's for what you're doing, for your growth, your company, maybe something that you want to do. Come up with a new four A's that go right with those topics there.
And the key piece is, you know, that trust that you talked about. I believe that trust is the glue that makes team effectiveness happen.
Yes.
Because without trust, nothing happens.
Right. Because you're seeing, and the trust is, I got acknowledgement and feedback, right? So the acknowledgement could be acknowledgement of something they did wrong, but in a way that they can learn from it. So what did you do wrong? All right, four words, not four A words, but I was a rookie supervisor and I was a tyrant. And how I became a supervisor in the first place, because I was a tyrant in myself. And so when I was put in charge of men, this was talk about fiber optic linemen. These are tough guys working out in very tough, brutal conditions. And so now I'm the leader of these men. And I thought that these men had the same work ethic and drive and no bullshit excuses that I had. Well, I was been for a rude awakening. I found out that there are many different levels of people out there. So what I used to just yell at everyone, like I used to yell at myself, I thought it was okay because I yelled at myself. Turns out not to be the case, especially in a corporate setting. This person named Carrie Ebersole, he just passed away not too long ago. Give Carrie some fire. I was with him one day and I was struggling to get people's respect and trust. And he said, watch this. And he pulls out, this dude was a harder charger than me. Literally, he was a nut. But he pulls out and we saw something called WeWas in a cable, aerial cable, which means the coax was kind of like, had like ripples in it. It was not installed properly. So he says to Tracy, the contractor, in your professional opinion, Tracy, I want you to tell me about that span right there. And Tracy, man, hat in hand, oh boy, this horrible, we're going to come back and get it redone. And I see there from here to here. And then he started just going up and around the corner. There's another one. And I was like, oh my God, he didn't have to go there and say, Tracy, look at this piece of crap. And how do you explain that? And blah, 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 blah. And what's wrong with you? He asked Tracy to explain it. And in his professional opinion, he set him up with the perfect question. And then he let Tracy fix it. And then he gave him enough. How much time do you need to fix it, Tracy? Well, I probably need 2 days. Okay. And then how did it happen in the first place, Tracy? Well, I don't think I had enough supervision here and someone got hurt. And wow, he just in that little 360 got everything you need to get it done. And they shook hands and actually Tracy bought him lunch. Before Tracy would be throwing hammers at me to get me off the job site, you know, just open my eyes to that trust and letting people guide you are you allowing people to guide themselves to the answers? That's a big lesson.
Yeah. When you can figure out how to get, you know, your team members to get to that ownership piece where they actually own things.
Yeah.
But that crazy D word has to happen, right? Right? That delegation needs to happen. Exactly. So that way they can own it. But that delegation, right? Because as leaders, we have to extend trust.
Yeah.
Whereas our followers don't have to.
And before it's earned too. You have to trust.
We have to extend it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's hard, right? Particularly when there's a lot of stuff going on.
And the margins are tight. You can't afford to let people make some mistakes, especially early on in a business life. Yeah.
But so how do you find that balance? Well, that's why leadership is both an art and a science.
So in your opinion, I'm going to put up your scroll again there to get a hold of you. It's Dr. Volpe, Volpe. That's on LinkedIn. I'm sure there's a bunch of ways to get a hold of you. LinkedIn is my go-to.
Yep.
What industry do you really like? Can you work with any business, any small SMB, small medium business, or do you have a lane? And do you work with ex servicemen? Do you love working with? Do you help people transition? Do you have programs? What's next for you?
So I enjoy working with, I'll call it, service providers, folks that are not afraid to get their hands dirty. I'm working with a transport company down in Texas, right? And working with a company in the transport or trucking industry is a lot of fun.
Is that sarcasm?
No, I love it, right? Because there's a certain, mindset, there's a can-do attitude to say, okay, what's the problem?
Yeah.
What's the issue? Okay, let's figure out this whole logistics thing and how can we, satisfy our customer faster.
I talk about slim margins.
Yeah.
That's right.
But, can-do folks are the ones that I enjoy working with. And if I could do that in the small business space, and if I could do that with veteran-led or veteran-owned companies, that's what I really enjoy doing.
Yeah, I imagine there's a lot of lingo cross there that you can feel. I'm a big Jocko guy. Right? I'm sure you are too. I've learned so much from those guys. But the cross between military and business owners, this is a war. This is a war, and your family's health and lifestyle and everything depends on what you do and the decisions that you make. And the sooner you can ask for help, the sooner you can say, somebody else has been here and can tell me and guide me, because you trusted your lieutenant before, you trusted your commanders. Do it now. Call somebody. Call Dennis. He knows what he's talking about, especially in the service industry. The service industry. People who serve other things, like landscapers, I imagine, really got to be some good stuff there. I personally have my son's got a landscaping company, and I know that those guys hardworking, but there's a combination once you get it dialed in to how to grow these businesses, whether it's landscaping or pressure cleaning, or
I am actually in the process of potentially working with a construction company to help the CEO do exactly what you talked about before, right? Because he is in it. He's in it, doing it.
He's in the weeds, they call it.
Yeah, he needs to get on it.
Yes.
So that way he can do more, not only do more, but do everything more effectively.
Absolutely. Duplicate himself by duplicating, his attitude. Yep. And work ethic and hiring those people. And that's another art right there, is hiring, right? I mean, especially nowadays, is hiring, acquisition, retention. But if he's doing it, anyone could do it. And you could teach somebody to do it. You just can't.
Team sport.
It is a team. You can't, sometimes you can't teach it's those intangibles that you look for to hire, the things that you can't teach. Somebody showing up early and all that stuff, and wanting to grow and wanted to give, true givers, and it it only comes from doing that every day in front of these people, because you could turn people into that when they see it. So, let us know the best way to get a hold of you if it's not LinkedIn, and I'll put all your contact information, send that over to me. And what's next? What's next for the company?
What's next? The Leadership Research Institute. We're a worldwide coaching and consulting company, and we just launched our first veteran leadership development program in the corporate space. Because we've been doing leadership, particularly for women, in the corporate space for the past 10 years. And we want to expand that into the veteran space, really to provide not only the veterans, but also, provide that translation of veteran stuff or military stuff and how that translates into what that service member can do for you. Because military men and women really look for, and this is based on my experience as a veteran myself, and then being involved in veteran service organizations and helping or supporting transitioning veterans. They're looking for camaraderie.
Yeah, a brotherhood.
And they're looking for community, which is a little bit different. And they're also looking for an opportunity for commitment, because finding that sense of purpose is what every military man and woman want whenever they go into chapter two, doing purposeful work.
Well, I think we've covered all the alphabet today. We did a great job, and that's the best way, Dennis. So we'll be putting this up there. Get in touch with Dennis. He clearly has your best interest in heart. And I look forward to getting you some referrals and getting you some business from this podcast, because it runs pretty wide these days. It's gonna be good stuff, and I'm glad that I can hopefully contribute to somebody's success through your guidance. Show someday,
and it would give me a reason to get down to Pompano Beach too.
I would love to see you here. Come right in here, do part two of this in studio.
Okay, done.
All right. Stick around for 1 second. I just want to say that everybody who's watching this is so much appreciated, and you never know who's going to come across your path. And this slight edge advantage, what is yours? What are you doing? What are you doing to get to tomorrow, make it tomorrow better? Because consistency is the key. You're 3 feet from gold. Don't stop doing this. But sometimes failure is a natural outcome, and failure is not bad. Failure is clues to success. So keep digging. Keep trying, and I will talk to you next time.